asking you a couple of questions. First of all, you're Alice Nolan.
Yeah.
And later I'll ask you your age and where you were born and a few things like that. And you're Lucy Nolan. Is that correct?
Yes, you're my sister-in-law.
Oh, sister-in-law. Okay, very good. What I'm most interested in my work is having you in Fernandina Beach when you were a young lady and then a little bit older and a little bit older. These are the things that aren't written down that people won't know about unless mm-hmm. we capture them on tape somewhere. Mm-hmm. So let me ask both of you, were you born and raised here in
yes.
Fernandina Beach, both of you?
Yes.
Okay. When you were children, tell me about things you remember about black children. Did you play with them, etc.?
No.
You didn't play with them?
I did.
Did you? Well, okay, let's let Alice answer first, and then what do you remember about black children and playing with them, just getting along with them?
Well, I got along with them, but I really didn't play with them.
Okay.
No reason why. But we just didn't do it.
Were they not close by, or?
Well, there were some down in another block.
Okay.
And we did all we could for them. I know once a little black girl and some others were passing our house, and she fell and scratched her knee or something. Anyway, it just bled. And I was on the porch, and I had on a little dainty white apron, and I took it off and went out and wrapped it around her leg, and then she went on home.
Okay.
And a day or two, it came back to me all washed and ironed, and this is pretty, with a note thanking me for doing that.
Okay.
But I just did it because
it happened.
That's the thing to do.
Sure, that's right.
And but now we had a black woman. I always felt like, and we called her Aunt Kate, and I always felt she was half black and half Indian. But
okay.
She was a nice old woman, and she would come to do our washing. But you know, at that time, the black people did not come to the front door. They came to the back door.
I see.
And she would come to the back door and wash our clothes in the yard. My mother had a great big round black cauldron, I'd call it.
Uh-huh.
And she would boil the clothes.
Okay.
So wonderful they didn't wear out soon. But anyway, that's what Aunt Kate did.
Okay.
And she would, once in a while, she'd bring her little grandchildren, two little girls. But she wouldn't let them play with
I
us.
See. She wouldn't let them play with you.
Because we're white people.
I see. Okay.
And she felt like, I think she felt like we'd reject them. And she wasn't going to have that happen.
I see.
And I could understand that.
Okay.
But most likely I would have played with them.
Yes.
I didn't. I didn't have any ugly feeling towards black people.
Okay.
I don't today.
Yes. Okay.
Certain things I believe.
Okay.
But and I think it's right. It's my own private belief. But as far as liking black people, I have a lot of good black friends.
Oh, there was obviously a very good relationship between the Nolans and the blacks.
Oh yes. Well, this whole city.
Yes.
When I was growing up, it was. We looked after the blacks, and the blacks looked after us.
That wonderful. Do you think it had something to do with the fact this was an island?
I don't know what it was, but I know my people never were ugly about black people.
Okay.
And we did for them when we could,
okay.
and they were always respectfully nice
okay.
when they were around, as we expected them to be there.
Okay.
But we were quite fond of some of them.
Okay. Now, you were going to say you played with black children.
Yes.
And
we lived at what they call a waterworks. It was a bungalow on Center Street up where that big reservoir is.
Oh, yes.
And we were the only white people that far out.
I see.
And all the rest around us were colored.
I see.
And there were a lot of little colored children. And of course, we had different cooks and washwomen at different times, and they had children, and they'd bring them along with them. And,
like Alice said.
Then we played with them while their mother was doing the washing or something.
Okay.
And we just didn't think about black But I remember one time one of the little girls were in a play at the school and she didn't have any shoes to wear to the play. And I told her she could sure have a pair of mine to wear. And I think Mother gave her one of my little white dresses. And the professor at the Black Kai School said he didn't even recognize the little girl, she was so dressed up.
Now, wonderful, you said Black, what's the name of the school? One of the professors?
Peck
High School. Okay. Yeah, okay.
But they had the lower grade there too, and she was a little tiny fella. And we used to, a lot of times, we thought maybe we touched them or something, the black might rub off on us. We were a little leery about that, but we got along just fine.
But you played with them?
We played with them, the different ones as we grew up. Of course, we were growing up too.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when we got to a certain age, their mothers began making them call us Miss Lucy.
I see.
We couldn't get used to that.
Okay. Both your mothers and their mothers required that they call you Miss Lucy, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Were there any, we'll just move back and forth between you, but were there any problems because there were blacks and whites as you were getting a little older, 10, 12? Did people call each other names, or did you have any problems like that?
No.
Still?
Yeah, only trouble we had with any of the blacks at all, there was an old colored preacher, his name was Riley, and he was helping repair the church roof.
This Possum and Riley?
Possum Riley, okay. You heard of him?
Yes.
And we used to get in a gang and tease him and call him Possum Riley, and he'd chase us. And one time I guess it got out of hand and all, and I remember that our parents got in on it, and we all got a licking for calling him Possum Riley.
Did the black children call him Possum too?
I don't know about that. It was always a gang of white children that were, you know, would put us up to this.
I see. I've heard about him. Obviously, I came up with his name.
He was really a nice man, but he just couldn't stand to be called Possum.
Yeah.
Trying to get off the roof, Riley.
Yeah. Well, I heard a lot about him. It's the same kind of thing. He must have been a different kind of a guy. He must have looked different, because kids pick up on those things.
I think he was quick-tempered.
Yeah.
And when we'd call him Possum Riley, he always carried an umbrella, and he'd run after us and like he was going to hit us.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know whether he really hit one of them, but I know there was a little trouble over it.
Over the calling him Possum Riley. Now, you lived in a neighborhood that was pretty much all black children, and you were in a different neighborhood. Describe your neighborhood a little bit.
Well, when I was young, about 6 and 8 years old, I lived out on Beach Street. And there were some colored folks that lived down the block.
Okay.
And, of course, all we knew was a very fact about colored folks. But I remember there was one boy, I think his name was Alfonso. And he lived with his aunt. And I tell you, that boy must have gotten a lot of trouble. She was always getting that boy and giving him a whipping.
This was a black boy.
A black boy, and his black aunt.
Yeah.
And they used to feel so sorry for him. I wonder what in the world he could do for her always after that boy. But I didn't have any association with him.
Yes,
at that time.
Okay. Now, did either of your parents, we're still talking while you were kind of young girls, did either of your parents talk to you about such things as slavery or chain gangs or any of those kinds of things? Did they?
My parents never did.
Yeah, okay.
Never did.
Well, my mother had, my grandmother lived at a place called Chuliota, a plantation. I think it was around somewhere up in Georgia.
Can you spell Chuliota for me?
No, I surely can, but it's an Indian name.
Okay.
And it was a plantation.
Okay.
And grandmother had this maid, a little slave, to wait on her and all. And they grew up together. When grandfather came to Fernandina, his name was William Naylor Thompson. And he came to Fernandina with the railroad. And by that time, the little black girl and my grandmother must have been, I can't remember. Well, anyhow, they brought Mariah Arbrett, was the colored woman, and they brought Mariah to Fernandina with them. And Mariah became our cook, and then later on our washwoman, and she was with the family till she died. And then she was a little daughter, a grandchild that I was telling you about, that she went to school and we wore my clothes to school.
Okay. Now, you both of you, I think, have mentioned Indian. Are you aware of the fact that the Seminoles, they came down from Georgia and Alabama when Andy Jackson beat them at Horseshoe Bend, and so they migrated down into Florida. And at the same time, blacks were escaping from the British colonies, and if they could get over into Spanish Florida, they were, you know, they were fairly safe. And they got together with the Indians, they intermarried with the Indians, they fought with them. Do either of you know of any blacks that were in the area that claimed to have some Seminole Indian blood in them?
We had a cook, and we called her Aunt Penny. I don't know her last name. And she claimed she was half Indian. And she cooked for us for years. And they used to have picnics going from Fernandina over to St. Mary's in a steamer that would take them. And this colored church got up this picnic, and Aunt Penny wouldn't go because she was scared of the boat.
I see.
And Mother persuaded her to go on the next one and fixed our lunch, and she went and had such a good time that every time they had a picnic, she wanted to get the day off to go to the picnic.
Okay, okay.
But she was wonderful. And
did she show any, did she have high cheekbones, or could you tell by looking at her that she had some Indian blood in her?
Well, I guess I was too young to
even understand that, yes.
But she was very faithful, and I don't care what day or time or the day or night, and you needed something, Aunt Penny was right there to do it for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. But don't worry about the noise. That's okay. Now, when you were youngsters in school, you didn't go to school with any blacks then, did you? Were separate schools for blacks?
There were separate schools.
Okay.
I went to the convent, and they were all whites.
Okay. This is the convent that is related to the Catholic Church?
Yes, that's the one they're renovating now.
Yes, okay, okay. Did the Catholic sisters have any black students at all in separate classes?
Not in our time, but later on, I think when Ken went to school, they had a separate school.
For blacks.
And the nuns took care of that.
Okay. How about your experience in school? It was all white, obviously.
All white.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have any blacks until the recent years.
Okay.
In our white public schools.
Okay. And you both went to high school here?
Okay. Yes, graduated here.
Yes, and that was all white as well?
All white.
And the blacks were going to Peck?
Yeah, they're going to Peck.
Yes, okay.
Well, someone should mention about Professor Peck.
Okay.
He was really a fine man.
Okay. Tell me about him.
Well, I don't know much about him except that I know that he was a professor there and had that was his school. Well, I don't think they ever had another professor in all the time. And he and his family had a lovely home right across from Trinity Methodist Church up there, but it's torn down.
Well, that would be where Fred's is, or on?
Right on the corner.
On
the corner. And they were a prominent black family.
Okay.
Well thought of.
Okay.
And he was a splendid man.
Okay.
And
did he grow up here?
I really don't know much about him,
okay.
But I imagine he did.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Did he have children?
Oh, yes, had daughters. I don't remember anything about sons, but
yeah.
He did have daughters.
Did you have anything to do around town with the daughters?
No.
Things were still fairly...
At that time, the whites and the black people did not associate.
Okay, all right.
In any way.
Let's talk a little bit about the ice house, which was really how I got to find you ladies. Okay. Tell me, several people had told me that they got their electricity from the ice house. I guess they also...
No, they didn't get it from the ice house. They had two separate buildings, and one faced Center Street, and that was called a powerhouse.
Okay.
And that's really what my dad had to see about, and a man named Mr. Bonds, who later went into the grocery business, but in the ice house sat right behind it, and that wasn't built until I was 17, 18 years old.
The powerhouse or the ice house?
My father also had charge of that. It's what they call the utilities, was the ice house, and the water was in that big reservoir, and
okay.
There was a big brick building and a tank on top of that. And one time a little girl came over from school and went to sleep near this reservoir, and she evidently dreamed it. Anyhow, she got the story out that this little boy had fallen in the reservoir.
Okay.
So there wasn't anything to do but drain the reservoir.
To look
to
for
be
her.
Sure.
She wasn't.
And all the parents, the white parents and all, they had horse and buggies at that time. They came racing up there. They just knew it was their son because he was always getting into mischief, and they drained it, and the only thing they found was a dead cat.
Oh!
Oh, terrible, and that's the drinking water. Well, now, they had the powerhouse and the ice house. It was all kind of one business.
They were all on the same plot.
Yeah.
It's where the that log cabin is.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's where the power company was,
okay.
And then right back of it was the ice house.
Okay.
And at that time, they had another outhouse, ice house called Simmons Ice House. And that was over where those great big two-story houses are across from the ballpark,
oh, yeah.
I guess.
Okay.
Okay. Ash Street, is it, Ellis?
Ash. Yeah. Well, now, where
Mrs. Simmons used to live.
Yes, Ash.
When Mrs. Card, Alice Card, talked about getting power free, how did that work?
I don't know anything about that. The only thing I remember free was one of the colored boys' mother worked for a friend of mine, and he was dying with some sort of fever and all, you know, burning up. And she said, oh, if she just had some ice, but she just couldn't afford it. So my dad told the ice man to deliver.
Yep.
A certain amount of ice,
yeah.
Every day. Now, whether my dad paid for it or whether he just let the city do it, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing free.
Well, I can help you a little more with this. Alice used to say that they got free electricity because I think it was either her father or grandfather worked in the ice house.
Yeah, so we got free electricity,
okay.
And free water because my dad worked. Well, he was the superintendent,
okay.
Of the thing. And in the wintertime, this powerhouse had some kind of pipes piped over to the bungalow we lived in. And they had these registers that the hot water ran through.
Okay.
And if it turned cold, my mother would just call over there and say, set over some steam. All we had to do was
turn the valve,
off,
huh?
And the steam,
yeah.
Came on. But when they stopped, they used to have big old furnaces and they shoveled coal in it. And then they put in these diesel engines and that did away with the steam.
Yeah.
So we had to begin buying our own fuel.
I see.
Stuff.
Well, you know, when she talked about this, I don't know whether it was her husband or her grandfather, but as long as the Nolan company was in charge of running the power system, and as long as he worked over there, they didn't charge Alice's family for the electricity. So that's something you learned. But now, as soon as Florida Power took over, I guess, from the Nolan company, then they had to start paying for their power.
We got our water free for a long time. We had moved down to 7th Street then, and when it was called the Southern States Power Company, they let us have the water free, but we paid for the electricity. Then when that company sold out, we had to pay for the water too.
I see, okay. Well, that's really very interesting, and as I say, that's how I got to know you ladies. Well, let's take it a little further along. When you were teenagers, did you go to the movie house in town?
Yes.
And I'm told that the blacks sat upstairs and the whites sat downstairs. Can you tell me any interesting things about what used to happen at the movie house?
I never heard of anything, any disturbance, anything like that.
I know we used to go see a movie for a nickel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We used to do that at church. Cost a nickel. Well, I'll tell you one thing that I've heard of that did happen at the movies. Apparently, the black children were upstairs and they were throwing popcorn down on the white children, and there was some kind of a ruckus, and they closed the movie house for a while over that. Do you, either of you know anything about that?
I don't remember that.
Were there two movie houses?
No.
Just one?
I think there's just one, but it was in different locations at different times.
Yeah. Well, different buildings? Different.
Yes, it wasn't the same place.
Where the Chinese restaurant is, that was called, at first they had stock plays that came through Fernandina, and it was called
the Lyceum Hall.
Lyceum
Hall. Oh, yes, okay. Yeah.
And one night that thing caught on fire up on the roof. And this old colored man, this was during my grandfather's time, this old colored man was standing around, and the white men were saying, oh, it's going to burn up and burn our house. And he says, well, y'all give me a new coat, I'll get up there and put it out. So he got up on the roof and took his coat and beat the fire out. And he said he got 6 or 8 new coats.
This the white man did this.
White man gave him the coats, but the white man didn't get up on the roof.
The black man did and used his own coat to put the fire out. That's interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about other... Have you got some things there want to talk about?
Well, most likely you've heard, but there used to be a black fella called Six-Toed Fred.
I've heard about him, but go ahead and tell me about him.
I never knew much about him, because I don't remember even if I've seen him. I didn't see him many times.
Okay.
But I do know that the white children would get a distance from him and call him, here comes Fred, the six-toed Fred, and all that. And he had a kind of quick temper, too.
Uh-huh.
And he would chase them.
I see.
And but I never had that experience, because I was never around him.
Did you ever hear... Did he ever caught any of the kids?
I never heard of him ever.
Yeah.
Now, he may have, but I never heard that of it. And then we had another black man that had an ox cart.
The ox man.
The ox man.
Go ahead.
He had a great big ox with a cart. And I don't know what he did unless he went around and gathered up things that people gave him to sell. But he was quite a figure around this town for years and years and years.
That's amazing.
I never knew his last name. And then
I have never heard of him either.
You do?
Across from the school, when I was growing up, Lucy, you might remember this too.
Which school is this now?
The public school right there on Atlantic Avenue.
Okay.
That big brick building.
Oh, yes. Okay.
There was a black family lived across in that big two-story place.
Yes.
And this woman, seemed to me her name was Anna. And it seemed like to me the last name was Hosenoff. Now, I may be wrong, so I wouldn't want to record for that. But anyway, every day about recess time, she would bake rolls. And I think it cost a dime, a nickel or a dime. And she would have a hot roll with a I think it was bologna she had in it. But oh, they were so good.
She would sell this to
she
the children
sell, oh, yeah, she'd
at
have
recess or something?
Yes, have it at recess.
Yeah.
And my that place would be crowded.
I think her name was Calhoun, Mother Calhoun.
It was? I don't know why I associate Anna with her. Well, it may have been
but
Mother
But you remember
Calhoun.
It was something good to eat, though.
Oh, my. And well, everybody in high school, they had a dime.
Uh-huh.
They were over there. Of course, we didn't have a big high school then.
Yes.
But that was a wonderful thing.
Uh-huh.
We just thought that was so good.
Yes, I remember that.
You remember
in fact,
that?
I got a scar on my neck when we slipped over when we weren't supposed to be on recess. And this boy bought us a pie, and it had just come out of the oven. And he was trying to keep it from burning his hands,
yes.
flipping it back and forth. And somehow or other, I got in the way,
oh.
and it burned me. And of course, we got caught up with because the teacher had to put some salve on.
When you burn. Oh, boy. Well, that was a black lady then.
Yes.
But, yes okay.
We never called them ladies.
Yeah, okay. That's true. What?
She was a black woman.
Black woman. Okay. Okay. Now, do either or both of you remember the Good Shepherd Church?
The Little Episcopal Church.
Down the hill,
yes.
They called it the church down
that
the hill.
Was a black church.
Yes, in the 60s. That building was just really worn out.
Oh, yeah.
It was tired. And
it was a tiny little thing, too.
And it had been moved a couple times, so the city condemned it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop brought the two congregations together. The blacks were in the Good Shepherd, the little church down the hill. The whites were at the big St. Peter's up the hill. And I have heard that the Ku Klux Klan was not happy about that. And when they had a black wedding or something in St. Peter's with blacks involved, the Klan would stand out on the curb there, not too far from the school, I guess, and jeer and holler. And did any of you folks ever hear?
I never heard that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, about that church now, the Episcopal Church built a lovely little church right down the hill for the black people.
Yes.
And they, from what I can understand, and maybe Lucy understands too, the blacks were satisfied with their nice little new church. But a Miss Peabody from the north came down, and she raised the ruckus and said that the blacks should not be from the whites, that the blacks should go to the big black church. And there was a lot of unpleasantness.
Okay.
A lot of unpleasant.
Can you describe that a little bit?
No, I know it's just what people said.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I imagine some of the people left the church and all that.
Yeah, I see.
But it ended up with them abandoning the little new church and letting the black people come to the Episcopal Church.
The big,
and that was a kind of a bad time for a while.
Yeah. That was the period when the Klan was across the street.
Mm, yeah.
And when the people came, blacks and whites came out of the church, they would jeer about it, and apparently there was, a lot of trouble.
Well, I tell you, a lot of the old Fernandina blacks, I think they were satisfied with their own little church, but it was these people from the north that came in that caused all the trouble, and it caused unpleasantness for a while between the local blacks and the white people
mm-hmm.
in the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a rather unpleasant time for a while.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember other periods around Fernandina when there was unpleasantness or difficulties between blacks and whites? And can you tell me anything about any of these periods?
Well, that's when they had what they call a disappointment club. And we still were having cooks and washwomen. And the young girls would come and ask for a job, and you'd hire them. And then they didn't show up. They called it the Disappointment Club. And we got hold of one of them, and she was working for us. And I came home at lunchtime from work, and she was sitting at my dressing table using my comb, combing her hair.
Oh.
And we fired her.
Yeah.
But there was no violence or anything. But then they wanted to go to the different drug stores and sit at the counters, and the boss would tell the girls if they asked for a drink, serve them, and just don't say anything, and it soon just passed off.
Were they allowed to sit at the counters or not?
They were allowed.
They were allowed, okay, but just serve them and not fuss about it, just accept it, I guess.
Well, the same with it.
To do that than to have trouble.
Yeah, okay.
The same with the churches. Now, I'm Methodist.
Uh-huh.
Bruce is Catholic.
Okay.
And when all this started, of course, we didn't want blacks in the church.
Just the Methodist?
No, not the Methodist, all the white churches.
Oh, I see, okay.
But we made up our mind that if they came to the church, we were going to treat them as we treated everyone else.
Okay. Now, they didn't come, really, did they? For example, taking Methodists, there's Trinity United Methodist.
Was we have Macedonian Methodists here, and also okay. Trinity Methodists.
Okay.
And, but some of them did. They came to the church all dressed up and just looked just as nice, and we were just as nice to them as we were to each other.
Did they stay?
And
or
then they didn't come back.
They didn't come back.
I think it was, I'm going to show you I can come
they
if
were,
I want
they
to.
They were testing you.
And if we'd have made a fuss,
yeah.
They'd have been back right on and
I
on
see.
And on. But now the Presbyterian Church, they've had black members who stayed.
Okay.
Very nice black people.
Yes, okay.
And they were well treated.
Uh-huh, yeah. Are there any black members at the Methodist Church?
No.
No, they're all
at Trinity. Macedonian Methodist.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm a Catholic, and they had two different churches, but you could go to either one, and in those days, if we went to what they call a colored church, St. Peter Plavers,
yes.
We would sit in the back and the colored people would sit up front. But if they came to St. Michael's, they sat in the back and we sat up front. And then in later years, they'd just come sit where they
wanted to. Sit where they wanted to.
And it's dwindled down. I doubt if you ever see over 4 or 5 at church anymore.
The St. Michael's, yeah. St. Peter Claver closed or was turned into something else?
They sold it. It's a home.
It was closed and then it was sold to a lady who turned it into a home. It was on the corner of Calhoun, was it, in 3rd Street. It's a little brick.
Yes, I've seen this. Yes,
like a little church.
Okay.
But it's still a home.
Okay. So the black members who were there when they sold it, if there were any, then they went to St. Michael's, is that right? Yeah, and there are very few there now?
Very few.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, they have 5 different masses at St. Michael's, and it may be that there's more, you know, distributed among the 5 masses.
Yes.
But when I go, I never see over 1 or 2.
Yes. I was down there one Saturday evening with some dear friends of ours who are Catholic, and I was amazed at the number of people at that Saturday evening service. Of course, I guess those folks want to go play golf or whatever.
It's always packed.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock on Saturday,
uh-huh.
And 10 o'clock on Sunday.
I see.
They're talking about trying to enlarge the church by extending it out from the back part. Or maybe the front part,
yeah.
But we always call it the back of the church.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if they're going to get by that historical society or not,
yes.
Remodeling the church.
Yes, okay.
I doubt it.
Okay. Do you have anything else on your list there that you... I have a lady I'll ask you about. Did you ever hear about the knife lady?
The what?
Knife lady.
It
was a black lady.
I never heard of her.
Apparently, she got into an altercation with a police officer. I don't know why, and cut him across the stomach.
Oh, my.
I don't know what happened.
I never heard of that.
Okay.
Did you ever hear of that, Lucy? Lucy?
Huh?
Did you ever hear of a knife lady that cut a policeman across the stomach?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Apparently, she was some sort of an eccentric.
She must have been.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
She must have been.
Yeah. Tell me about back in the older days, they used to have something they called convict leasing. If a black person was arrested and a turpentine company needed 10 people to help them with their business, they would rent the prisoners from the prison or from the jail, and it was called convict leasing. And there was a fair amount of that went on. I don't know how much of it around never Nassau County. Never heard of it?
I never heard of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you familiar with chain gangs?
Yes.
Well, we knew they had them.
Yeah.
We had them. I never did see them, but I knew they had them.
Okay.
They used to wear stripes, black and white stripes running around for the uniform.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard a gentleman describe, there's a name for those white uniforms, but did they do work around the roads around Fernandina?
Yes.
Did they? There were prisoners?
The prisoners did,
yeah, okay.
did work on the roads.
Okay. They got to have in the county, don't you think, more than in
well,
the
more,
city?
More than the city, but I mean, they did it in the county.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the county a little bit. We're in the eastern part of the county, and the county goes all the way to Hilliard, Callahan, mm-hmm. and so forth. Do you know how blacks and whites got along in the western part of the county? Did you ever hear any problems over there?
Or? I never heard of any problems.
Yeah.
Lucy?
No, I never
okay.
heard
that. I've heard black people say they were afraid to come through Yulee. I don't know what never used to happen in Yulee, but they were afraid of Yulee.
Thing we ever heard about them being afraid, we had a sheriff, young
oh,
man,
yes. uh-huh.
and he was very strict with them and all, and I think he kept them in line. They never had any trouble, but
okay.
I think they were afraid of him.
I see, okay. Yes, he was in charge of roads for a while,
yes.
and then he became sheriff maybe a little later in,
mm-hmm.
in life. But he, there were no problems, no violence or anything relating to him, okay?
Not that I've heard
okay.
of.
Okay.
I never heard of
yeah,
it.
Okay.
And we were very strict, and the Negroes really walked quietly when he was around.
Fine, you fine line, huh? They tell me that there was a black business district down 2nd, 3rd Street. Can you tell me anything about what kind of businesses are... Or do you remember it being a black business district?
The only one I remember was a woman named Ada Watson, and
yeah.
she ran a restaurant on 3rd
mm-hmm.
Street, I think it was. And she would send meals out. I know my mother was very ill at one time, and she couldn't, you know, handle getting the meals
yes.
and all. And Dad took our meals from Ada Watson.
I remember that.
The man that delivered it, I think his name was Peter Brew. Dad had a bottle of rum on the sideboard, and every time Peter would come and deliver the food, he'd take a swig and fill it back up with water. So
oh.
one time Dad had a guest, and he was offering him a glass. The man looked so funny. Dad said, "What's the matter?" He says, "It tastes like water to me."
Oh, he would sneak a drink?
He'd sneak a drink.
Sneak a drink.
He was filling it back up with water, and nobody knew that he'd even been in it.
Oh, boy. Let's talk a little bit about moonshine then. What do you know about moonshine around town? I understand there was a lot of it.
Yes, there was.
Where it was
good
made.
Good prohibition.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There was quite a bit out in the county, mostly.
Okay.
What are you talking about, Alice?
Moonshine.
Oh,
that was
right.
out in the county.
Yeah.
I think we had quite a bit of it.
Okay, okay.
During those days.
Can you remember any stories about moonshine? Anything about it?
No.
No?
My
okay.
family didn't talk about it.
Okay.
Like that.
I know that when they pull the people off, confiscate the liquor and all, it used to be kept in the basement of the post office, and ever so often they would destroy it and just pour it out in the gutter.
Yeah.
And this Colonel Barton had a colored man working for him, And Thurman, we called him. Thurman and the little dog were walking past, and they saw all that liquor in the gutter. And Thurman just laid down on the sidewalk and licked. He was good and drunk.
The dog, too, probably. Yeah,
probably so.
Yes, okay.
At one time, we had a very prominent black doctor here.
What was his name? Do you remember?
I can't think of his name now.
Who was this?
A black doctor. We had a prominent black doctor long years ago.
I can't remember his name either.
It's been such a long time ago.
Yeah, we used to hear a lot, or I hear a lot in my interviews about Dr. Humphreys.
Oh, yeah, that was a white doctor.
He was a white doctor?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a white. He and Dr. Horsey.
Dr. Walsh.
Dr. Walsh were the only three doctors in town. There was a lot of rivalry between them. And Dr. Humphreys had a horse and buggy. Dr. Walsh had an automobile. And one time Dr. Humphreys was down at Ms. Brady's furniture store, and he tied the horse and buggy up to this post, and Dr. Walsh went by and blew the horn, scared the horse, and he took off and pulled the post away.
Oh, those are fun.
Have all kind of tales.
Fun story. Well, these are the kinds of things that, as you remember them, please tell me. What do you remember about the NAACP when they're still here, but do you remember anything about what they did? Or
is that when the colored people, they came in and stirred up the colored people?
Well, those were the civil rights people. But the NAACP was the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And they had a chapter here that was founded in March of 1928. I'm just curious as to what they did around town, or did you ever hear about them?
Well, I think maybe that was along about the time they had this disappointment club I was telling you about, and the girl was combing her hair with my comb.
Okay.
I think they put them up to all kind of...
I see.
I think they did too. And they were...
They put them up
impotent.
To it, or the young ones just wanted to show off.
Now, you mentioned the club. Was this the white people that were disappointed, or did they call the...
It was the white people that were disappointed, but the colored club disappointed them by not showing up after they promised to come work for them.
So if somebody didn't show up for your mother, then your mother was part of the disappointment club. That's it.
She
okay.
She was disappointed.
Okay. So apparently a lot of that went on if they had a club.
That's when they wanted to be served at the soda fountain and all, but it didn't last. There wasn't any violence or anything.
So they tried for a while to be served,
and
they were turned down, I guess, and so they stopped.
And things just settled down?
Well, I think maybe the younger girls and boys, I think their parents kind of got on too. I know we had a old colored woman working for us, and she had this fine looking daughter, and she lived quite a ways from our house. I saw her on the street, and I said, "Don't you want to ride home, Pearl?" And I thought she was going to get in the back seat, and she sat up front. And I didn't do it on purpose, but I went to go around a corner, and the door flew open. Pearl nearly fell out. And I was telling my cook about it. She says, "Served her right. She didn't have a bit of business sitting up there with you."
In the front seat. Well, you were driving the car.
I was driving.
Okay.
Well, the older, like I say, the older black people did not want this new stuff that was coming in. Some of them resented it.
So it was the young people.
It was the young people. Some of them got really kind of ugly at times.
What do you think prompted them? Was it...
Well, they wanted to show, "I can do it now."
Yeah, but did the idea come from just their own minds, or
no,
were people...
No, I think it was outsiders.
Outsiders?
A lot of outsiders.
Outsiders, especially when the mills came, so many northerners came down, and I think they influenced them a whole lot.
Just like that Miss Peabody.
Yes.
In the Episcopal Church.
Yes, okay.
In a way, you couldn't blame them, because they were working for about $2 and a half a week. And then when the mills came along, they got good jobs out there. then they begin bettering themselves. And now some of those black girls are smarter than the white ones. Look around in these offices and they're a lot more efficient than some of the whites.
Wonder why that is. Why would you think that is?
I don't know, unless they want to better themselves and
maybe work.
More
you think
attention.
They work harder at school, maybe? I don't know.
So, I mean, you see both sides. Some of them you can't. Ken's a school teacher. And he sees both sides. Some of them is, you just can't better them, and others they're just wonderful.
Did you both have, when you were teenagers, did you have good black friends? I mean, people that you went to the movies with, or did not. Okay.
No, we never socialized with them.
Okay. Okay. How about American Beach? What do you think about? What do you know about American Beach? That was their only.
Well, that at one time was really a wonderful beach for the black people.
Okay.
And it's a shame, I think, that when they opened up the white beaches, the black people just left the black beach and started using the white beach.
I see.
Because the government did that.
Yes.
And it's such a shame, because they got a lot of houses standing out there, and from what I can understand, that was really an up-and-coming place.
Yeah, the
and it's a shame that they've lost it.
Yes, the African American Insurance Company, I guess, put a lot of money out there.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I think the plantation sort of squeezed them out.
Okay.
No, they still got theirs, Lucy. Nobody can touch American Beach. That's theirs.
Yeah. They still have it. I know.
Yes, I know.
A lot of them sold out because they were offered lots of money for it.
I think that, plus the fact that in time the taxes will be difficult for some of those people, I guess, because the value of property all the way around is going up, so American Beach taxes are going up too, I guess.
But it's a shame because so many of the rich black people had homes out there.
Yes, yes.
And from what I can understand, it was quite a nice place for all of them. Mm-hmm. And to me, it seems such a pity to give up a place like that, just associate with white people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it seems such a shame.
Yeah. Did they ever come to town? I know they came from all over, Jacksonville and Atlanta to American Beach. Did they ever come to town, those people out there?
Not especially.
Yeah, yeah. They stayed pretty well stayed
pretty
out
much
there.
To themselves.
Yeah, okay.
They must have come in for groceries and things like that, but they didn't.
But not in crowds or groups.
Okay.
You know. Even the restaurants, you go in there, you will ever see a black person.
Yeah. Before segregation was over, did the blacks try to use the beaches other than American Beach? Did they ever have any?
Not very much. You might see one or two with them, and it usually would be somebody's maid that was caring for the
children. Take care of the children. That was okay that they'd be down, but they sat probably in their dresses or whatever, didn't, okay.
And when American Beach first started, they all went down there. They didn't try mixing on the white beaches.
Okay. Well, when they started mixing at the soda fountain counters and the beaches and their various things like that, were there problems around town? Did we have any fights or any?
No, I don't ever remember hearing of any fights. I think everybody tried to keep things just peaceful.
Yes.
Because they felt they were doing it to show the white people, well, I can do it now, the government says I can.
Yeah.
And instead of letting it get to us, we just accepted it in our way and it went away.
Yeah, okay, okay. What other kinds of things can you think about that are interesting from a history standpoint that relate to blacks here in this community, either when you were little girls or?
You heard of John Baptiste?
Yes.
He was an outstanding black man.
Yes, he was.
I'll tell you how I heard of him. He was on the vestry of the Good Shepherd Church, and the Episcopal Church, the vestry is the governing body.
Mm-hmm.
He was a mortician, wasn't he?
Yes. At first, he started out, he would keep clean offices, and my boss was Judge Hinton Baker, and John Baptiste would clean our office, and we got to know him. He was a perfect gentleman. And then he, you know, began stepping up to better things. He ended up being a mortician.
I see. Okay. Well, were there any more than just one mortician in town, or did the white people take care of the black before?
I never heard of a white mortician take care of the black.
Okay.
I'll remember the black mortician.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about during World War II? There were a lot of soldiers around, and there were black soldiers and white soldiers. How did they?
They got along just well.
Did they? Okay. Okay.
Some of those soldiers, I understood, not here, but I don't think it was here, would want to ask some of the white girls to dance, but the white soldiers went up to them and spoke a few words, and that ended it.
That was it. I told them to stop.
That was
ended
it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But so we never had any trouble.
Okay. Okay.
We never had any.
Another question for you. After World War I and after World War II, there were a lot of jobs available up north for anybody. And a lot of the blacks went north at the end of each of these wars to earn more money. If they were earning a dollar a day here, they could earn $5 a day up there and so forth. Did you folks ever hear of black folks you know who went up north to earn more money?
Well, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, they did.
But what I understand, everything is so high up north, it costs so much more to live. They were just as well off
living. They didn't gain anything
down here.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that they're much better treated down here than they are in the north.
Okay, okay. I don't know, but I do know that a lot of black people did go north to get work.
They did.
And yeah.
But you know this, we on this island, and I say the county, we've always, as far back as I can remember, had a good relationship with our black people. Somehow I feel like we always felt like we could count on them, and they needed help or needed something, they could count on us. And I really think for a small town and an island like we have, that we had a wonderful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think except those few little periods that we had during the transition, and that was because of other people, we really have a wonderful relationship.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. And
yes.
That's good.
I think it's
yeah,
quite nice for a small town.
Uh-huh. In all that nicety, were there some black problems or black people that created problems other than the Disappointment Club that you've talked about that you can think of, either of you?
No, I can't think of anything special, except the young people at that time were sort of belligerent and sort of sassy and kind of threw the weight around a little bit, you know.
These are black people.
Yeah,
okay.
As black people, but even that settled down.
Okay, did that cause fights or ever have any kind of riot?
I don't remember ever hearing of a fight.
Yeah, okay.
I really don't, course it may have been now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
okay.
But I never heard of any real fight between the blacks and the white.
Okay, okay.
And of course, we had Sheriff Youngblood, and he really kept a tight rein on everybody, white and black.
White and black.
Yeah,
yes,
white
okay.
and black.
And you never heard of any real problems out in the county anywhere?
No, I never did.
Did you ever hear anything? I mentioned that some of them were afraid of Yulee,
mm-hmm,
if they were coming up.
I wonder why.
Well,
little old Yulee.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there were not so many people living in Yulee
then. Yeah, I've heard people talk about coming up from Jacksonville, up 17 and across A1A, and they were just so afraid of Yulee. They hoped they didn't have to stop and buy gas or any of those kinds of things.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah. Uh-huh. What kind of transportation did folks have? Now, you mentioned you were driving a car. How did the black people get around in town?
Walk.
Walk?
lights walked to.
Yeah. A lot of them had cars too.
Well, in the early years they didn't. Neither did the whites.
Yeah.
They walked.
Yeah.
They used bicycles. Or they used horses.
Okay.
Well, I remember one man had a lovely what do you call it? Buggy. And he'd take you places in the buggy with a horse.
This was a black man or a white man?
See, to me there was a black man. Black and white we've had.
And if you wanted to say go from my house down to the railroad, we used to have a railroad from here to Jacksonville.
Yes.
And you'd call this fellow with the buggy, and he'd take you in the suitcase down to the station, maybe 25 cents.
And this was a horse and buggy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. How did you get to Jacksonville in those days?
Train?
We had a train.
Okay.
That was so much fun.
I really liked that. A bus, Mac Junkins bus line.
Yeah, but that was later, much later.
Mac Junkins?
Yeah.
J-U-N-K-I-N-S. Junkins. That's an unusual name.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had that for a long time.
Okay.
But it's the same time we had our train, and I remember going to, was going to Jacksonville one day, and the Carnegies were on there.
For goodness sakes.
And the Carnegie women.
Yes.
And
they were basically from Cumberland.
Yeah, from Cumberland.
Yeah.
But they'd come over here to catch the train.
Okay.
To Jacksonville.
The drawbridge went out one time. I don't know whether a steamer hit it or what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus would have to take you out to the drawbridge. Then you'd have a taxi or something on the other side to meet you. That lasted for about a month. We were stranded over here.
Till they fixed the bridge. Well, that meant no cars could get over anything, huh? Yeah. Well, how long ago was it that they put the bridge in at the south end of the island?
I don't exactly remember. You mean the one that takes you to the plantation?
Well, the south of the plantation, yeah. Goes over to Talbot, goes across the Nassau Sound.
Years and years and years. Goodness knows, that's been there a long time.
It's been there a long time.
Long time. Okay. Nothing
Is
new.
Is that what we call a ferry?
No.
No, that's down in Mayport.
There's one or two large bodies of water.
And you get off the bridge at Yulee. I mean, coming over from Yulee and past that Thomas Shea Bridge, then at the foot of that, I think it turns to go to that other bridge.
Yes, that's right. You come over the bridge and turn right, and it goes down past the plantation.
Uh-huh.
And
on out.
Yeah.
We go to Jacksonville that way quite a few times.
On the train, when you rode to Jacksonville, did they have separate cars for the blacks or separate seats within the white cars?
I think there were separate cars.
Okay. Were there a lot of black folks in those cars? Did they use the train? No?
Well, we don't remember because...
Well, I don't remember seeing them when I went.
Yeah. Those cars maybe were kind of empty then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Couldn't afford it, perhaps? I don't know.
Well, I don't think they were interested in Jacksonville then.
Okay.
They're mostly just island people.
Right here, sure.
And that's just where their interest was.
Okay.
And they had no reason to go.
And it cost money, too, so...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yes. And a lot of them are dependent on fishing for their livelihood.
Okay.
And of course, and oysters. I remember when I was a child, big old sacks of oysters, that tall, that big around, I think for a dollar. And they'd come around, and a lot of the young blacks would pick blackberries and bring them around, sell them 5 cents a quart.
I see. Okay.
And they picked the huckleberries.
Okay.
And bring them around and sell them.
That's how they made their money.
Yes, they made
a
little extra money.
Uh-huh. What do you know about pogie fishing? That
was an industry here.
Yes.
And I think it kept the town going for a while.
Mm-hmm. A lot of blacks.
A lot of blacks were fishermen for pogie?
Help us and everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, they made oil from those fish and fertilizer, I guess.
Oh, yes.
Was the oil the kind you would burn in an oil lamp? No?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I think most of the fertilizer.
Sure made an odor.
Yeah, did it?
Awful. Really ruined the town for tourists.
You can hardly breathe when you had a heavy load.
Can you imagine somebody working in those fish all day long?
Oh, I don't see how they stood it.
When they come home, their clothes would smell so bad.
Oh, it's
something. What else can you think about that when you think about blacks and the older days in Fernandina?
Well, I know it's certainly nice to have them. I mean, when we could depend on them to be out to cook. Now, my mother, we never had cooks. My mother did all the cooking, but we did have washwomen and took care of the clothes and things like that. But it was so nice to be able to call upon them when we needed them.
Yes.
And they were good, loyal people.
Hard workers. Yes, okay.
My dad was a railroad man. He was foreman of the shops down here. And he had quite a few blacks working under him. I never heard him say ugly things about the black people. My mother and father never did.
Wonderful. Didn't. Okay.
We had one cook named Allie Benton.
Yeah.
And it was during the Depression, and money was hard up. Mother never would want to go to the hospital anyway, and she's going to have this baby. And Allie said, "That's all right, have it at home." Said, "I know how to bring it." So Mother, I think that was Edward.
Huh.
Mother had the baby at home and got along fine. And they got to talking, and Mother said, "Allie, why in the world don't you be a midwife?" Said, "You brought this baby all right." So Allie decided she'd go in business for her own.
To be a midwife.
We lost a good cook. Anyway,
but you gained a good midwife, though.
She went in business as a midwife, and they tell the tale with the blacks would have these babies, and half of them couldn't pay for it. She'd hold the baby till they could get the money to pay for it, and then she'd let the mama have it.
Yeah. No, these are the kinds of stories that are fun to hear.
Well, she was really good. She was very popular midwife.
Yes, okay.
She delivered many, 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 many white babies around here.
Okay.
She was a very good, reliable woman.
Allie was her name. Something you were saying about Allie?
Oh, she worked for us, and Mother, during the Depression, couldn't afford to go to the hospital. And so Allie said, "Don't worry," said, "I know how to bring the baby." So Allie brought one of my little brothers, and Mother said, "Allie, you're so good at that, why don't you go in your business?"
Uh-huh.
Allie went in business, and we lost her as a cook.
Yeah.
But then she would bring all these little colored babies, and a lot of them, it was during the Depression, and they couldn't pay for them. So Allie would hold them until they could get up the money to pay for it, and she'd give the babies to the mamas.
I don't know which one won out, though.
Yeah, I probably won both ways, don't you think?
I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I've heard a lot of the colored girls tell me.
Yes. Can you think of any other reflections you have on black people we haven't talked about? Back in the days when you were young girls, or even after you grew up?
I remember one of our ministers, and this was about 1935, 1936 or somewhere along in there. He was such a good young black man, and he worked in our church. He was our janitor, I guess you'd call him. And our minister became so fond of him and depended on him so much that when he was moved, he took him with him.
I see. Okay.
And I thought, that was certainly a nice thing.
Yes, it was.
Thing,
yes, it was.
That he was that good.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he thought that much of him that when he left, this young black fella went with you.
Yes, okay. We know we started, when we started talking, we were talking about the Nolan Ice House or ice business. What was the correct description? Nolan Ice House?
Ice House.
And Alice Card, it's either her father or her grandfather worked. I guess he must have delivered ice to people around town.
No, he didn't deliver it. He had men, colored men, working for him on the, they had a horse and wagon, mm-hmm. and they'd cut the ice. And well, it came in these great big, I guess it was about 3 feet across and about 6 feet long. Then they'd cut it in different sizes and they'd deliver it on this wagon. As we were kids, we'd run and hang on the back of the wagon to get a ride.
I see, okay.
That's how my husband got his name, Bo. When he was little, he would run around after the ice wagons and beg rides and ride with them. And so they started to call him Hobo. Oh. So after a while, he
went
down to Bo.
Okay.
So all of his life, yeah. He's been known as Bo.
Now the ice came from up north, I guess.
No, it
was made right here. Okay.
No, no ice. Right
here. Okay.
And I think they had several horse-drawn wagons go around town, and they'd come and saw the ice, and we kids would go out there and hold our hands underneath and catch the sawn ice and eat it.
That's wonderful.
Because our parents didn't think much of that.
Yeah, well, I can understand
but,
that.
And the colored men were always so nice to us every time. Never had never any ugliness about it.
That must be what Alice Card's father or grandfather did, was to deliver or work around the ice house. I don't know. And so along in there somewhere, Florida Power bought the business.
Yes.
Yes, that was... When, in the 30s?
It must have been. It's after Boy and I were married. We were married in 34.
When did Dad die?
In 39, wasn't it? I think he died in 38 or 39.
Okay.
I know the city sold it to the Florida Power and
Light.
That Southern States Power Company was the first one that bought it, and I was working, so it had to be before 24.
Oh, what was it after we married? And
my boss drew the contract, and he drew it so well that when the city wanted to break the franchise,
he couldn't do it.
He couldn't break it himself.
Well, that's interesting. Well, as we close off here, is there anything else that you think about black people that history would like to hear about? We've covered a lot of ground here.
I see the world's a very prominent black families in town that they've bettered themselves even from when we were children.
How did they earn their money? What kinds of things did they do to...
Well, we had an old, well, might as well say friend, old black man that worked for my dad over at the Powell Company, and he used to work over at Dungeness on Cumberland Island, and he was a sort of a carpenter, and he'd do odd jobs, and he'd work around our house, and then people would hear about him, and then after he'd get off from work, he'd work for them, and his times got better, he'd make more money, and he just climbed up.
He just, that's all he did then, was to work for other people with woodwork and things like that, I guess, yeah.
Well, when I was about 18, we had a black doctor here. What I spoke of before was when I was very little, I imagine, because I just remember my parents talking about the doctor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The black doctor, and had a big, beautiful home.
Yeah.
And
they had another family around here named
Verdier. Verdier.
And,
how do you spell that?
Alex.
B-E-R-D-E-R-E.
Okay.
D-I-E-R. I'm not sure.
Judge Swan was a very prominent white fella here And I don't know what thought of it, whether it was real estate and turpentine. Anyhow, he was very prominent and very rich, and this Alex Fadil worked for him. And he got so he was so good that even the white fellows would consult him, you know, on different business deals.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that family, some of it is still here in town.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm a very nice yeah. family.
That sounds like Mr. Sam Swan, was it?
Yeah.
Sam Swan. I didn't realize he was a judge. Yeah. He came here as a young boy and worked with bricks and sold bricks to Fort Clinch. Yeah. How about your parents? Did they talk to you about such things as slavery and
mine didn't.
Okay.
Mine told me about this Mariah Augert that they brought down from Chuliota. She worked for the family, and when the Union fellas were coming through, they heard about it. As all these slaves got together, and they got all the silver and everything and buried it in the lettuce garden and saved all the silver anyway.
Okay, okay.
My mother's people were from Georgia, and I remember my mother talking about that too. The family taking the silver and the nice things and burying it in the ground.
That's when the Union were here.
Yeah,
okay, okay. Well, I'm going to turn this off now.